My guest today is Helen Steller. We're going to play a track from their CD and get to some live stuff and some interview. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Helen Steller. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Helen Steller. Helen, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So who are you and what do you play? And you're here to represent the band.
I'm Jim. I play guitar and I sing. And yeah.
How many people are in the band Helen Steller?
We are a three-piece. It's Jim, Cliff, and Dustin.
And they make up what, bass and drums?
Yeah. Guitar, bass, drums. Pretty simple setup.
Did the project start out as just you and your guitar, and then you found people to play with, or was it a group of people who decided to make
a
band?
No, it started out, I knew Cliff, the drummer, in Chicago. We started out in Chicago. And at the time, he had a drum set, but, you know, pretty much just beat the hell out of him and didn't know what he was doing. And I had a guitar and never picked it up a day in my life. So we worked at a job together, and he was like, yeah, well, I play some drums. I'm like, yeah, well, I try to play guitar. So he's like, yeah, come over. So I came over one time, and I just plugged in, and we made the most obnoxious, ridiculous noise in the world. And I mean, it was probably so offensive. I think I remember his roommates leaving, but we looked up at one another after it, and we were just like, oh my God, that was so awesome. And it was so fun. And then originally there was four, and there was this guy, Steve, who was our old bass player, and this guy, Kevin, who was a guitar player. And I knew them from high school, actually. And I ran into them at some party, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, you should come over sometime. We have a whole setup and everything, and, you know, come in and play some guitar. And once again, I had no idea what I was doing, but I had this little song that was two chords. At that time, I knew two chords.
It seems like most bands, they need that they need to know three, and then they can start their band.
Exactly. Three chords is a song. Two chords, you're getting somewhere at least. So I went over to their house with a distortion pedal and a wah pedal, and plugged in and played them these two chords, and they started playing along with me. And next thing we knew, I mean, they were experienced. So next thing you knew, we had a song, and I just kept going over there. We'd get high and we'd play these songs and not really know what we were doing. But okay, I'm kind of making this a long story. But then Kevin, the other guitar player, through a mutual friend, his mutual friend said, hey, we were having a CD release party in the suburbs of Chicago. Why don't you guys open up for us? And we're like, yeah, right, whatever. So,
and I take it you guys were in Chicago at the time.
Yeah, we were in Chicago at the time. And we were just like, yeah, okay, we said yes, but we had nothing. I mean, we had nothing to go in there with. We had like a couple of...
So you had your first live show before you had a CD, before you had...
Oh, yeah, totally. And then they wanted a... You know, we needed a drummer, and I'd played with Cliff before, so brought Cliff over, and everybody got along really well, and we had like I think 3 weeks to rehearse for this show, and we ended up doing three cover songs, and we ended up hashing out three originals. And I mean, at the time I'd been playing guitar and singing, Jesus, for about like 3 months, and we went up and we had such a good time and brought a lot of friends, and it just worked.
Had the sound evolved greatly in those 3 months from,
well,
you know,
I
what
mean,
scared the roommates away to the audience enjoying it?
It got a lot better. It certainly wasn't dialed in by any means, but we knew where we were going. We knew the kind of direction we wanted to go in, and we liked the idea of it, and we liked the sound. And it was very simple. It was very repetitive. We were really limited to what we could do. So, and this is, you know, 6 years ago. We then became a three-piece. Kevin left to sell microphones, and we were just going to give up. And, you know, we were thinking about getting another guitar player. Then we were just like, what are we doing? Let's just give up. And then we had another show, just the three of us, and it was really, really great. And the response was amazing. So we all quit our jobs. For some reason, decided to move to Madison, Wisconsin, where we could just find a house and sit in the basement and just play music for a year.
And so you guys actually
really
moved
shows.
To another state?
Yeah,
we moved to
go someplace cheaper where we could find a house where we didn't know anybody and where we could just really hone in on playing music. And a year later, we resurfaced, and then now we're here.
Yeah, but it sounds like you sort of very quickly formed like a family from the band.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
totally.
If you guys are all willing to move to another state together to work on music like that.
Yeah, we just really believed in it. I mean, we weren't that good at the time, but we knew that the sound we were making was unique. And that it was beginning to move some people, you know, and we just knew that if we really buckled down and really put an effort into, you know, getting better and writing songs, that we could really, I don't know, could really do something. I mean, for ourselves, you know.
Why don't we jump into a live song now? What do you have? What do you have planned?
I'll do this is probably like the. fourth song I've ever written or something like that. It's called Diane. It's really simple. And it's a good one to play just solo. So,
all right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jim from Hell and Stellar.
Too merry for me, Diane. You're too cherry for me, Diane. You've got band-aids on your knees. Really hate you, Diane. Too happy for me, Diane, yeah. You're too preppy for me, Diane. Practice your cello all day. Sing beers, tell lies every night. Diane, my world's gonna end with you. When my poetry readings make you feel blue. Diane, Diane, my world's gonna end with you. It's gonna end with you. Diane, my world's gonna end with you. When my poetry readings make you feel blue. Diane, Diane, my world's gonna end with you. It's gonna end with you. Diane, yeah. You're too merry for me. Oh, you're too cherry for me.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Hell and Stellar. Jim, you said you had the guitar for a while before you started playing it. How long did you have it? Why'd you get the guitar in the first place? Did you think that you would play it eventually?
I got it because of the idea of it.
That it was just cool to have a guitar?
I've always been really, really, really into rock, and certain bands really, really inspired me, and they were all guitar-driven, and so I just wanted a guitar, and I got it, and I was just out of school at the time, and, you know, just doing other things, and every time I sat down to play the thing, it just hurt my finger, so I was like, you know, I'm better at just listening to it, you know, and, then for some reason, one day I just picked it up and just started playing it, and it came pretty, I mean, I'm still not a, you know, accomplished guitar player by any stretch, but I mean it.
Did you form the calluses over your fingers that you need?
Yeah, man,
to play the music you want to play.
Yeah, there was a lot of painful days, but they came eventually, and yeah.
And what about singing? Did that come naturally to you, or did it start at a young age?
No, that came out of necessity because no one wanted to sing. So Kevin, our original other guitar player, sang a little bit, but I think I'm not really a control freak, but once we got a little bit of a sound dialed in, I knew that I had to take over. I knew that I had to that I had to see this vision to fruition. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin was into really different stuff than I was, and that it worked at first. But I just knew that him singing over what I was playing, or just me playing to what he was singing, wasn't going to be creative. It wasn't going to be, you know, I couldn't do it.
Your influences were going to eventually cancel each other out.
Totally, and I couldn't do it. I can't be the guy that just plays along. I just, you know, I've tried to be, and it just doesn't work.
Well, how much of, like, right now the band is a three-piece, and it's still all the original members?
No. It's Cliff and I are the original members. Steve we had to part ways with a couple years ago, and now we have a new bass player, Dustin, who's just a way better bass player and just a great guy. And
so how much of Helen Stellar is a collaborative process, and how much of it, like, are you the front man of the group? Do you write all the songs?
Yeah, I'm the songwriter, yeah. But I mean, we're very much a band. I'll bring, you know, there'll be some songs, like, this would segue great into the next song I want you to play on the CD.
That's what's up next.
Okay, excellent. There's some songs like this song that he's going to play next called Our Secrets that is it's a song that I wrote a guitar part to and started singing along with it. And then I had a little Casio keyboard, and I was playing it with my shoe, basically, while I was playing guitar, and just played three keyboard notes over what I was playing on guitar. And I had a song instantly, and I knew the exact drums for it. I knew the exact bass line for it. I knew all the guitar parts for it. I just knew. And the guys are really cool in the fact that they trust me, and they, you know, when I say to them, like, it's gotta be this way, you know, like, or at least we have to at least try it this way first for me to put to rest.
Do you think over time they've sort of gotten a sense of how you think about music, so that they kind of know what not to play?
A lot of times, you know, going along with the collaboration thing, I can come with a guitar part and a melody, and, you know, within a half hour we have a song, because they know my style and I know their style, and our styles meet somewhere in the middle, and we just will have a song instantly. Other times it's, I can bring a part or what I think is a completed song, and it just won't work, and we'll just put it on the back burner, and then all of a sudden we'll just bring it back in the middle of just, like, messing around, and hey, there's a song. And it's sometimes it's already a done deal in my head. Other times I come with my part and just hope that everything
comes that they
together.
Carry it along to the end and bring it together. All right, so this is Our Secrets from Helen Stellar's album, A Prayer to Myself. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Helen Steller. So Jim, this is a pretty interesting story because it sounds like you started making music almost before or immediately after you started writing music. You know, usually people start writing music when they're very young, and then eventually that sort of evolves into a band. Yeah. You had the band, and then you started, you know, really writing songs and creating your sound.
Yeah.
So how was that for you sort of internally? Did you always know that, like you said, you grew up listening to a lot of rock music and you were really inspired by a lot of guitar-based rock music. Yeah. What about lyrics? What about the way that you write songs?
In terms of lyrics, I guess it just depends. It depends on what a song is making me feel, you know? I know it sounds pretty, pretty much like a rubber stamp, but it's true, you know? It all depends on what I'm feeling at the time, you know?
Is it abstract, or do you write mostly about experiences that you've had, people that you know?
Mostly it's about moments. That's it. Like, it can be, I think each song is pretty much what I'm feeling at one moment, and it's just something I'll take and I'll blow up, and that's it. It kind of goes along with this kind of, it's, I guess, this attitude I've always kind of have that was just kind of inherent, that I'm super aware of my mortality. I'm well aware that, you know, this dream could be over any second now, and I don't think really anything in the world is trivial. So there's these little moments that you have throughout your day or whatever that just move you. And that's the thing, is I think I'm moved every day. And if there's a day that I'm not, that could be something to write a song about too.
The day that you weren't moved. The heavy drinking day.
Yeah.
When you started writing songs, did you immediately feel like you knew what you were doing, or was it something like a skill that you had to develop?
It was, the thing is, I didn't know what I was doing at all playing guitar. I didn't know, but I knew that what I was playing sounded good to me, regardless of whether it made sense or whether it sounded good to other people. But I knew it would sound good to other people because I'm really, really into music, and I'm really into rock, and I think I can tell a good song, you know, and that's not to say that I can always write one, but I mean, I can tell when it's kind of like going along with the something moving me thing. Like if I'm playing two or three chords, and even though you won't find them in a tab book, you know, or a chord book, if they're doing it for me and it's giving me that little tickle I get in my gut, then I know it's good. And then I'm going to go with it. And then, you know, whatever I'm feeling from there, inspires lyrics.
It's true. If you listen to a lot of music, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's impossible to articulate what you like about a song, but you can definitely tell a good song from a bad one. And it's not about, you know, how well the guitar player is, you know, technically doing anything. It's just something about it. You can't really articulate it, but
well,
it's true.
That's the beautiful thing about rock music. I mean, it's like, I mean, look at punk, all the unbelievable punk songs that came out of, you know, the late 60s and the 70s and even the 80s and 90s, man. A lot of these guys, a lot of them were great musicians, but a lot of them just weren't. They didn't know what they were doing, but they could turn, you know, a few chords into just like the catchiest, danciest, best, you know, perfect pop song. And, you know, I'm not saying that's what we're doing. We're definitely not a punk band, but we are definitely a do-it-yourself operation. And I'm sure, you know, people with music degrees have seen our shows or heard us live and been like, well, you know, I get it, but, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. So, and I can live with that. It's
as long as you believe you're doing good music. And you have fans who can kind of, you know, reinforce that belief.
As long as it gives me that tickle, I think it'll give other people that little tickle. And then it just doesn't matter. You know, I'm not doing it to be a rock god or to be technically sound. I'm doing it because it makes me feel good. And I see it makes other people feel good. And I love it.
What do people describe your music as? Like it becomes increasingly difficult as we come up with new definitions for genres.
Yeah.
You know, the indie rock and punk pop and whatever.
I've heard several interpretations. A lot of people have called us shoegaze before. A lot of people have called us dream pop, psychedelic pop, indie. Someone, a reviewer, put, and it was a good review too, but I don't know where the hell he got this. He said, we're mixed between the Steve Miller Band and the Foo Fighters. And then I got another one like a week later that was a mix of America and Radiohead. Wow. And yeah, I could see where they're coming from with the America and Radiohead thing because I like both those bands.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the Radiohead. And,
yeah, yeah, but the Steve Miller Foo Fighters.
That's funny.
And that was if it was a bad review, I think I would have taken it a lot harder. But because it was because they still like the music, we pretty much just laughed our asses off.
Well, I kind of wonder if that, you know, when critics review bands, how much of it has to do with the band, how much of it really has to do with the night and the venue and the other bands that were playing around that band and those kind of things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It true. Might have just been a Foo Fighter feel to the room,
right,
and that he attributed it to your music, you know? Like,
could
there's no
well
way to
be,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we go into another live song, if you're ready?
Okay, sure.
What do you want to play for us?
This is called Gray Skies.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Helen Steller.
In comes the rest of my life. The road was hot, we were so high, we'd give NASA a fright. The road stretched round my aching shoulders, it's over. The road stretched round my shoulder one more time and it's over. Gray skies, no rain in my eyes. Cold wind blew me back here again. Walking back home about 5:06. There's no one around, yeah, I'm the only boy alive. See through those blinds, you're with another guy. Well, no one's gonna say, but I will. Gray skies, no rain in my eyes. Cold wind blew me back here again. Gray skies, no rain in my eyes. Cold wind blew me back here again. Oh, I see it's up to me, and now will watch me suffer. Oh, I see it's up to me, and now will watch me suffer. I don't want her, yeah. 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 Gray skies, no rain in my eyes, cold wind back here again. Gray skies, no rain in my eyes. Cold wind blew me back here again.
So, Jim, when you first started getting some attention for Helen Steller, how did that affect the way the band saw itself, the way that you continued to write music? When you realized that people were listening to it, I mean, you started to get attention. You've had your work featured in films. KCRW was playing you for a while, and you were getting great reviews. Did that change the way you thought about songwriting or anything along those lines?
No, I mean that's kind of a double-edged sword. But no, it definitely made us want to step it up a little bit. And that's a good thing, you know. It's good to always progress and evolve. But at the same time, we didn't want to be predictable in that fashion. I'm not saying predictable like as in, you know, I mean, you have to get better. You have to evolve and you have to keep it fresh. But at the same time, we didn't let it skew our attitude and our writing or our look or anything like that. We're not on a label right now because we had a lot of interest from some majors, especially around the time that this soundtrack came out. But they all said the same thing. They all said, "Well, we need the radio song. We need three choruses. We need it 3.5 minutes, and we need you guys to start dressing rock and roll." And
so you didn't want to be told how to present yourself,
to be. No, not at all. That's not why we're doing it. You know, I mean, we're not, I wouldn't call us successful, but we've had successes. I mean, without the use of, without being tethered to a label, and I think it's just going to get better, but we certainly do want to evolve. Every band wants to evolve, but we're not going to compromise a song that we really love, you know, to make it, radio or I guess label friendly. It's just
corporate friendly, I think is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. If it's 6 minutes, it's 6 minutes for a reason. We like it being those.
It takes 6 minutes to tell that story.
Yeah. We channeled those 6 minutes, and if it was supposed to be 3.5 minutes, it would have been. You know, we have a 4 minute song, you know, which we'll probably play next. It's called Panic Attack at Breakfast. I'm getting good.
You're good at the segue thing, yeah.
And it got KCRW play, and a lot of people really like it, but you know, it doesn't have the choruses, and it doesn't have the it doesn't have the formula. And you know,
do you feel like when you listen to general, like, major corporate radio, you know, and they have those 12 songs that they're paid to play over and over again, do you feel like you almost hear them, you know, being dressed by their producers and, you know, like, putting in the ingredients to their formula?
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times it just has to be that way. I think there are some people who do write that song. I think there's people who are great at writing that song. I like that song.
So they write songs to get on the radio.
Yeah. And I like a lot of those songs. I do, man. I love a lot of that shit, but...
But it's just not what Helen Steller does.
Yeah, no, it's just not what we're... That's just not what we're doing. And I know some bands who don't write that song, but who are writing that song because they're sick of having the supplemental income and having to work at the record store, and I totally understand that. And I a part of me agrees with it, you know? Everybody wants to just get paid to play music, but I think once you give that much, you're going to have to give a lot more, and it could really work out for you in the end, but just for me, I'm not there right now.
It's kind of like the politician that, you know, has to vote against his conscience just to get elected.
Yeah.
Once I'm elected, then I'll be able to change the world.
Totally.
But that act changes you, so by the time you reach that point, you're not the same person that you were when you got into it. Well, that's why don't we go into that track. What was it again?
Panic Attack at Breakfast.
All right. And tell me a little bit about this song.
This song is... we had a show at the Metro in Chicago on a Saturday night, and it was a blast. It was like one of the best nights ever, and we just partied so hard after. Not to sound like a typical, you know, rock band or anything, but
no, that'll get you airplay.
Yeah, good point. The next morning we were all still pretty messed up, and this girl and I went and had breakfast, and for some reason, I just had a major freak out, and I'd never had a panic attack or an anxiety attack before, but I was with this girl, and I don't know, I just completely embarrassed myself by having a big freak out while we were eating breakfast at this place in Chicago, and essentially had to go outside in 3-degree weather with no jacket on just to cool down because I was sweating so bad, and That never happened to me before, so it was a new experience, and as freaked out as I was, I thought I'd write a song about it. So.
That's it's a good idea to write a song about it. It makes me want to write a song.
You're listening
to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Helen Steller. Back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest Jim from Helen Steller. Hey, where can people get this album, A Prayer for Myself?
They can get it at Amoeba Music or order it from our website, helensteller.com.
And you guys have other albums available, or is this your debut?
We have that. That's kind of our debut. We've only done three EPs, really. And the good folks at Vinyl Films really liked them, so they decided to put out a vinyl version of the three EPs, plus some old demo tracks of literally the first three songs that I ever wrote, which are the three songs I was telling you about that were our first show ever.
Wow.
And, so they put out it's gorgeous. It's double, it's two records. It's a gatefold. It's a red and blue vinyl. They were like really did it up. They're vinyl geeks. So, they decided to do a CD version too, so this is a CD version. It's a little shorter, but yeah, you can order both at HelenStellar.com or you can get them at Amoeba.
Now, how much of what Helen Stellar is a recording artist and how much is about the live act? Which is more important, or are they just two different animals?
Well, that's a really good question, because right now we are... I shouldn't say right now. I came to the conclusion about 6 months ago that I am in a band to record music. We haven't recorded in a while. This is this CD and these LPs are a compilation of EPs that we've done that... You know, the last one we did was, you know, a couple of years ago. And after that, we just took it on the road and played in L.A. all the time. And, you know, it was fun, and it's fun to play live, but it just made me realize I'm not... That's why we're on a break right now, because we don't want to play live, and we need money to record. So we're trying to save money up, and because we have a full album's worth of songs that we love that went over really well live. Ready to record, but we just don't have the money to do it right now. So because of that, we haven't played live in about 6 months, and it's actually been, I miss it, but at the same time, it just made me realize that that's not as important to me as putting out records.
So it's almost like the live stuff is an extension of the album. It's a way to promote
sure.
the album as opposed to,
yeah.
So when you think about people listening to your music, you sort of visualize them listening to the album more than being at a club somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to me really, really loving music is that, you know, I went to tons of shows and I love seeing a good live band. I love it. But if you ask me any day, I'd rather, you know, I'm going to judge a band on the albums they put out. Like, I mean, I was a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, and you know what? They were not a good live band. I'll be honest with you. Same thing with the band The Clientele that I really like right now. They are an awful live band, but the records they put out are amazing, and I will champion them because of that.
And those moments that you're looking for in music, they reach you.
Exactly. It's at a live show, you gotta, you know, either the band's gotta make the moment or you do. It's like now with like a Walkman or an iPod or just being at home. If you're feeling the moment, you can put on whatever you want, and that's what good music does. It turns time into moments, and that's what good records do. And that's why I'm in it. That's why I'm in it. That's not to say we're never going to play live again. I just don't. It's just not a priority to me right now. Priority for me is recording some of these songs, and we're getting closer. So,
well, that's good. It's interesting as a fan, sort of going to a live show. It's kind of like seeing. It's kind of like loving a movie and then seeing the actor from that movie on the bus or something, you know, walking down the street and somehow that takes away from the movie because you actually touched that, you know, you were in the same space as that person. That person is real, so it lost the magic.
And we try to keep that with our live show. We're pretty much just backlit and there's a ton of smoke on stage and we don't want to be in your face and have lights shining on us. We want the music to speak for itself. And I think it does. I think our live show is a really good show. It's just really hard to represent the feeling of an album on stage, you know. And you know, we're slaves to the media, I guess, the CD record media. But I like it that way.
Well, you ready to do another live song?
Yeah, I'll do one more.
All right. What are you gonna play?
I'm gonna play a song called Potpourri. This is song one, EP one. So I'm playing you some oldies here.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Called again. See, there's this French girl I know. She steals hearts and vanishes like a pro. She sends a letter every week. It reads she loves me, but my potpourri is trouble with a capital T. I see your picture every day. It's black and white, and she's smiling like she knows one day everything's gonna be okay. Okay.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jim from Helen Steller.
Hello.
Tell me about the name, Helen Steller. Where does that come from?
God, I hate it. Man, I hate the name.
I do. It's a cool idea to begin with, and now you wish you could shed it?
It was a joke. Like, you know, we had that first show opportunity come up, and none of us could think of a good name, and we didn't really take this seriously, so The old bass player, Steve, came up with it, and I thought it was hilarious because I thought it was a play on Helen Keller, and he's like, no, it's not at all. So I kind of, you know, I didn't really feel bad about laughing at it, but, you know, it did something for me at the time. I thought it was funny and and just light, so we went with it, and then we did that first show and got a good response, then did a couple more, and response started getting larger, and then we were like, well, I guess it's meant to be right now, but I've never really been friends with the name.
So sort of an unhappy marriage.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with it because I don't think it matters that much, but at the same time, it's I just know where it came from and the fact that it was kind of a joke. And you know, this is a band that, you know, we take the music really seriously, and to have a kind of satirical name like that, I almost think is an injustice.
Yeah, it's sort of on one side.
Look for a name change.
Yeah, is that something we expect in the future?
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's out of respect to Steve as well. He's, you know, we did part ways. He's not in the band anymore. And this name has taken us to a certain spot, but we want to go to another spot. So I think a name change is in the cards.
I mean, I guess you could say in one sense you get to surprise your audience with this, you know, incredibly well-written, serious, you know, musician's music. You know, after the initial name, because like when I heard the name before hearing the music, I thought maybe it was like a, you know, a hair band or something, you know, like there's something like Stellar, you know.
Totally.
So, you know, I guess you do have that where you can sort of like doubly impress people by being more than the name.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it is your calling card and, you know, you're kind of married to it for a while.
For right now we are. But yeah, it's going to change soon. And I've finally come to terms with that, and you know it's a tough thing to do once you get a little following, and it's just hard to start that over, but I'm so ready. It's ridiculous. And that's another good reason why we've been on this break right now is fresh start, new inspirations, new name.
But do you feel that you'll be able to hang on to your old audience?
I think it's pretty easy with MySpace and with the internet and everything. I think if you just keep your name up and just let everybody who visits know about it, I think that's great. And it also give us a chance to, I mean, kind of start fresh, you know? I mean, I like what we're doing. I love the music we make. But it's something that it's good to change a little bit. It's good to get away from what you're so familiar with. I think it makes you grow as a person, as a band. So,
all right. So everybody should check out myspace.com/HelenStellar for now, anyway.
For now, exactly.
That's HELENSTELLAR. And you also have HelenStellar.com.
Yeah, HelenStellar.com.
And people can get this CD.
CD, LPs, shirts.
Prayer to Myself.
Totally.
You can get that from the website as well as from Amoeba Music.
From Amoeba, yep.
All right, and so we don't have any live gigs to promote at the moment, but we'll be on the lookout, and you'll be sure to let us know when it happens.
Sure.
Why don't we leave with one more track from the CD? What do you recommend?
How about let's play song 3, Compulsion. That's the newest song we recorded. That's the one that Vinyl Films recorded for us. Thank you very much.
Nice. All right, Jim, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. If you want to hear this show later, you can download it from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood, or from the iTunes podcast.